So with yourselves, since you are eager for manifestations of the Spirit, strive to excel in building up the church. Brothers, do not be children in your thinking. Be infants in evil, but in your thinking, be mature. In the name of Christ Jesus, our Lord. As the three-year-long ministry of our Lord gets underway, you and I will find gospel readings such as the one for today, revealing how the impact of his teaching on this world's life is as prominent as his healing activity. This is very good, because our lives in this world are constantly flooded with other realities. Here are some samples. The illnesses dogging our bodies, minds, and spirits, the self-centering we encounter on a daily basis, the relationships that position us between trusting and not trusting, the attempts to keep dumbing down the Trinity's life so it squares with our own, the impact of our Lord's teaching on such flooding is shown in today's gospel. There's an introductory section of the passage followed by three other sections with a common theme. In the introduction, Luke notes that swarms of people crowding Jesus' teaching are so significant he has to work from a boat on the shore. Moving past the introduction then, we turn to the gospel's three sections. Each one is marked by the phrase, no sense. In the first section, from a fishing point of view, there is no sense to Jesus' order to go back out onto the lake with the boats during the day and into deep water. Early morning and shallow water are still the best times and the best conditions for fishing. Yet his order moves them to do just that, and the catch is staggering. In the second section, there is no sense to Simon's reaction. After laboring all night for nothing, possibly concerned about the monthly payment on the boats and the equipment, or fretting over their potential buyers, you would think he would be embracing Jesus, sharing high fives, and exulting in his vastly improved financial situation. Instead, Simon falls down, asks our Lord to leave him, and notes how riddled he is with sin. In the third section, there is no sense to Jesus' comments. He tells Simon to not be afraid. Of what, you and I may ask, especially in the light of what has just happened. He tells Simon he'll be catching people from now on. And how does he propose to do that? He persuades Simon and his partners to leave everything and follow him, and they do. When Jesus' teaching surfaces in the lives of people, its effect is overwhelming. This is what this passage is revealing to us today. The Lord's life is churning into the lives of these men. It throws over everything they are doing, and it has them being immersed in his life. This is incredible. Through reality TV shows, you and I are probably familiar with the hardness and difficulty of being a commercial fisherman. Simon and his partners, used to grinding out their living through good, long, and bad days, are now confronted with the most staggering catch they have ever experienced. They walk away from it to follow our Lord and catch other people. What is going on here? Is the passage spurring you and me to walk away from the work we are currently doing and plunge into the church's work? No. The passage is spurring you and me to walk away from our lives as we understand them, and to plunge into the life given by the Lord God at our baptisms. As Jesus brings his life to us and teaches us in its ways, he exposes the emptiness of the gods that you and I love to create and love to maintain. But remember what Martin Luther, our teacher in the faith, said of such gods. Two things. They are those things on which we depend, and they are those places to which we turn when there is trouble. Now, Simon and his partners were only doing what every person in this world tries to do: make a living, be responsible, strive to be a decent human being. But then Jesus rolled into their lives, and suddenly they are seeing things quite differently. Our Lord loosened their grasp of this world's gods, as he does ours, and grip them with his life, as he does ours. This is a great reality. This is why you and I applaud him Sunday after Sunday after Sunday, for rolling into our lives. A number of conclusions then emerge for our lives as his people today. First, born into this world, you and I are trapped by its fears. If we're honest with one another, we will confess that we let our lives be shaped by them, we let our lives be guided by them. We call those realities from the world that were listed at the beginning of the sermon. Caught up in our attempts to keep dumbing down the Trinity's life so it fits better with our own, or to keep struggling with relationships that veer between trust and non-trust, or to keep putting up with the self-centering we encounter every day, or to keep dealing with the illnesses that haunt our spirits, minds, and bodies, we soon find ourselves fearing everything the world has to offer. What we tend to forget is that these fierce realities are fully exposed to the wrath of the Lord God. When Jesus rolls and churns into our lives, he is teaching us to fear the Lord God, not these fierce realities. Such fear of the Lord God not only saves us from his wrath, it also floods us with his mercy. Second, born into this world, you and I are brought up to catch others for our benefit. The contacts with them will build up our lives and build up our work. We call it networking. But when Jesus rolls and churns into our lives, he teaches us to be caught by him so that we in turn can let all those others be caught by him as well. Such catching is not easily accomplished because it involves a sharing of what the Lord gives. And people instinctively are seeking what their gods can offer them. Finally, week after week, you and I pick our way through the world's life. Sometimes it's awful. Sometimes it's bearable. Sometimes it's rather good. Then we run into this passage describing how the crowds of people are swarming our Lord to hear his teaching. This startles us. Why? Because when you and I look around in this culture and realize that those who are committed to the life given them by the Holy Trinity are a minority, we may be dealing with crowds, but they're not exactly swarming. Does this mean our commitment to the Lord God needs to be changed so it will fall in with what the majority of the people are doing in this culture? By no means. Instead, we need to remember that the Father, the Son, and the Spirit are committed to us. They were determined to rescue us from the ravages of sin, Satan, and death. They will not relent, and they will use us to reflect and carry their life into the culture surrounding us. In their mysterious workings, the Father, Son, and Spirit are allowing people in this culture to be swept up in the gods of their making, to do the things their way until they crash with those gods and recognize that they have no idea of where to turn. Realizing that their gods, as promising as they were, have dealt them an empty hand. It is at those points where the Lord God will use our reflecting and our carrying to throw off the realities of his life so such people can be caught by it. When the Lord's life churns into the lives of such people, it will throw over everything they are doing, and it will embed them in his life just as he has done with us. Remember, the Lord God is always spurring people to walk away from the life as we understand it and to be plunged into the life that he intends to give all people. Amen. Now may the peace of the Lord God, which is beyond all understanding, keep our hearts and minds through Christ Jesus, our Lord.